Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, the impeccable Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Ooh, I get pecked all the time.
The deplorable Ed.
The deplorable. I am a deplorable.
You
yes.
are. Yeah. So, well, welcome to The Drift. And if you've not listened to us before, you can look at what the new... I'm just all off today. I don't know.
If you haven't heard us before, the first question is, why not? And second is, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Especially our listeners in Carrollton, Georgia.
Jasper, Florida. Valdosta, Georgia.
Valdosta, Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, see, thanks for picking up.
No problem.
Just my mind is a little off today. I've got a lot on my mind. It's been a tough week.
Yep.
Tough week, folks. So we'll get through this today. We've got some guests calling in, which is good because my brain is just not really where it needs to be today. So Ed's going to help you out. So what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com. It's the
news you need to know.
Yes. And I put news from around the world and across the country on there for you. So check it out, www.thedailydrift.com. And if you need to email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, you can email me comments and I can read them if you're too shy to call into the show.
And if you need to yell at Gary, his cell phone number is...
No, I'm sorry. No, don't do that. Well, let's take care of a little business. J&M Landscaping Tree Division. If you have trees that need to come down, this wind this week really left me scared. I got to get Jason out to fix a tree in my yard. 248-640-7029. Get those trees and branches trimmed or take them down completely before the spring storms hit, right?
In a controlled manner.
Yes, in a controlled manner. 248-640-7029. Don't wait for the insurance company because you know what they'll do to you anyway. So 248-640-7029. I've had Jason take trees down for me before. You'll never know he was there. They're just gone when you come home. So he does a really good job. And there's a 20% first-time customer coupon, 20% off in the Current, CourantOnline.com. So,
and I would like to say, you know, you might not have a damaged tree or, you know, worry about damages. Sometimes you might just want to take an older tree and have the lower limbs trimmed up.
Yes.
And it improves the look of the property. No.
It absolutely does. Yes. There's a formula to that, and I was trying to remember. Somebody told me once. It was probably Jason. But all right. So we've got a guest today, and it's U.S. Senate candidate John James, who we've been dying to get in here and talk to us. And he's calling us from CPAC, I think, right?
Yes.
Didn't we say? John James, welcome to the show.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me first say this, because of our three Senate candidates on the Republican side running, in fact, from all four, our only military veteran, sir, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your service and all our other veterans. I would love to see more of our veterans run for office. So thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you for that, and I really appreciate it. No, actually, if you would allow me, I just got information that an Apache, an AH-64 Echo model, just went down yesterday, in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. It just serves as a reminder that we still have our brave men and women training every day and fighting every day. And so your thanks and your gratitude does not go unnoticed. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention.
Yeah, and I try to wear my red on Friday, every Friday. It's kind of hard sometimes, but I try to remember to wear red, just, you know, as my show support. So thank you again, sir, for that. Ed, you had something you wanted to say?
Well, I'm concerned that that's an outcome of the lack of budget that we've had for maintenance and training. That's what concerns me. We've had a number of aircraft crashes lately, and in the naval crashes that we had last year, you know, just... outcomes of the Obama military budget, which was lacking. But,
so let's start with that. So John, you're happy, I assume, that even though this giant overfed budget got signed, it had to be done. Would you agree?
Well, look, we did have a saying in the military that served us very, very well. Mission first, people always. We don't get to pick. What I expect of our elected officials is to both take care of our children and take care of our service members and vets, but also make sure that we're doing so in with the fiscal and spending discipline necessary to preserve our children's future. We didn't see that in this most recent spending bill that came out, and I'm extremely disappointed. Many on in the Republican Party, to include our president, have pointed out negotiating with
the Democrats.
Oh, no.
John, did we lose you?
Cell phone failure?
I know. Yeah, we lost John. John, if you can hear us still, call us back. All right. Well, so let's...
I can do a little bio on John James if you
want.
Yeah,
go ahead. Okay.
So John James actually is the CEO of Renaissance Global Logistics. He took a $35 million company, made $137 million in revenue, and created 100 jobs, according to his bio. And he had a career at West Point, flew 700 combat hours in Iraq.
Yeah. You know, and Detroit native?
Yes, Detroit native. Yep.
So, folks, Wayne County. He's a Wayne County, son of Wayne County, and which is good. Right?
And actually, he was recently endorsed by John Bolton, which
really
impresses the daylights out of me.
Wow, yeah.
And, he's actually, I was asking his campaign manager if he was at MCPAC, and he was asked to speak at MCPAC.
Yeah, okay.
And he's actually endorsed by the ACU.
Oh, awesome, awesome. John, you're back.
Hello.
Yeah, Did you hear us talking about you?
So I apologize. All right, so full disclosure, I'm going to tell your audience, this is extremely embarrassing, but my wife just tried to FaceTime me, and so that's why I got kicked off.
Yeah, that's not embarrassing, John.
I apologize.
That's what Adam told God. It's the woman you gave me. Yeah.
So I appreciate you having me back, and if you allow, I'll just jump back in, because I know that we have a limited amount of time, but I just wanted to say that leaders can't get to pick. We have to make sure that we are delivering for our military, for our vets, but we cannot do that at the expense of our children's futures. We have to rein in spending. We have to rein in this over bureaucracy at the federal level. And I believe it is the job of Congress, with the power of the purse, to hold our unelected bureaucrats accountable for their irresponsible spending.
Yeah. So let me ask you this then, John, because this is something that's been eating at me.
I see it coming.
As a senator, if you are elected as senator, do you agree with pushing Mitch McConnell to using 51 votes, if by chance, and we know we're not going to get 60 votes out of 2018, do you support going to 51 votes to
get legislation done? Say yes.
For matters of the budget and for matters of the executive agenda and things of that nature, then yes, absolutely.
Yes.
But I believe that there has to be a bit of discussion when it comes to actually pushing that 60 vote limit down. And there's I want to make sure again that we are marching in line with, like I said, doing both. Accomplishing mission, but also putting people always. And I wouldn't want to set up a situation where Democrats could force their progressive agenda down our throats. And the Senate is kind of that part of the bicameral legislature that should, while getting things done, should have a little bit of a cooling effect on mob think.
Yeah, and I think they can go ahead and take as much time as they need to for debates. I believe that completely. But, you know, we did 51 votes long before we did the 60, and things got done. And when I look at the last decade now of Senate performance, it's poor. I mean, Congressman Tim Walberg will be on the second half of the show, and there are over 400 bills sitting in the Senate that the House passed, and the Senate is doing nothing with, and it just absolutely drives me. And sometimes it's simple things like, you know, protecting the grid, spending $5 billion to protect the electrical grid, not getting passed in the Senate. In the House has passed it numerous times, and it's things like that.
You know, one thing that we can do is Debbie Stabenow has been an elected official for 43 years and has been in Washington for 20. She's working for her fourth Senate term, and I don't understand. It must be the only place in the world where doing nothing for your constituents can get you reelected. She votes with Chuck Schumer 95% of the time. So when you talk about having somebody who has the passion for service, energetic leadership, and has the skill set to be able to get some of these things through to fix the process. That's something that we need to get done, too. And by obstructing the process, Debbie Stabenow is part of the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I do want to mention, so I think we've got three decent candidates this time running for Senate, and I want to see you guys promote yourselves, get out there. You know, I don't know if you've had a whole lot of work with Channel 2 down there on the edge, but the more you can do to get on with those guys, even though they're liberals at Channel 2, you know, do whatever you got to do, John, to get some time with them, because I think a lot of people watch that station in Detroit. And so whatever you have to do to get on with those guys and be, if you have to be a little controversial, don't be afraid, because it gets you some publicity. Because I think Republicans, by historical standards here in this state, don't do enough to get their name out there. And I want to see all three of our Republican candidates get out there and show them what you got, because I think guys like you have a whole lot to offer. You know,
John James, have you done anything with black pastors in the city?
Yes, I have. Actually, I've been invited to speak in churches, and I'll tell you, being able to just go into, it feels like home court. When I go and I talk to folks, and I talk about Esther and being placed in a point in time for a time such as this, when I talk about Moses and understanding that the Democratic Party has been peddling this brand of victimhood, where they're having people essentially accepting dependency as their destiny, and you start talking about things that all of us can relate to, God and country, service before self, and faith and family. These are things that held the black community together for ages. And so now when you go and you start telling the truth, that truth is being deemed irresponsible. That truth is being attacked by the left. And that truth constitutes an extreme threat to what the Democratic Party needs in order to thrive, which is votes and not voices. And so when I go in and I speak in these churches, I'm able to just talk about something that we all agree to, that we all can relate to. And when I have the opportunity now to broaden the back of the elephant, to include millennials and minorities the way no other candidate can, we have a massive opportunity not just to win this seat, but to show that the Republican Party is the party of freedom to people who have not been delivered that message, to people who've been lied to for decades. You go into Baltimore, you go into Detroit, you go into inner cities all over this country, and you see the result of the failure of Democratic management for decades. And when the Democratic Party tries to hang our president's tweets around my neck, I'm going to be pointing to the tree growing through a house in downtown Detroit. I'm going to be pointing to the wild dogs running around in inner city Detroit. I'm going to be pointing at people who can't put clothes on their children's backs and ask, is this what we deserve? This is not enough. We did not come out of slavery to come into this. And I believe that's the message that I'm getting. That's why I'm getting invited back in. And that's why there's energy behind this. And this is a message that I believe that I'm uniquely suited to take, not just into Detroit, but all over the city, all over the state of Michigan.
John James, is this part of what you're going to say at McPack this afternoon?
Well, I like to open things up for questions. I'm going to talk about massive government overspending in Washington. But if there's time, I might take one or two questions. But this isn't. You talked about being controversial. That's not controversial. Let's tell them the truth. I mean, that's like, look outside. You're voting for a way that's not working. We have been marching. We just commemorated Dr. Martin Luther King's the 50th anniversary of his assassination. He talked about his dream. We have been marching from Selma to Washington. We've been rioting from Baltimore to Watts. And what has changed? We've been yelling and screaming, and the Democrats are not listening.
That's right.
So
yeah.
We need to do something different.
Yeah.
And so when you're threatening the Democrats' unsustainable business model of subjugating people, that gets them very nervous and upset.
Okay.
And so I'm sure that I'm going to be cast as some crazy person, but let them come, because they need to hear the truth.
Yeah. Well, John, speaking of questions.
Yeah, we've got a couple of callers here that want to get questions, and we're going to move them in real quick because I know you've got to get going too. So, but I did want to say, Joe from Wyandotte always tells us you got to get 30% of that Wayne County vote. So should you win that primary, make sure you spend a lot of time getting, because you're going to get the outstate. That's no ifs, ands, mm-hmm. or buts about that. But make sure you spend that time down in Wayne County and get that. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte. He's got a question about the 17th Amendment. Joe, welcome to the show.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get 30% of Wayne County in order to carry the statewide races. It's statistically demonstrated
over and over
in the past.
Yeah.
And Trump got 29.6% and barely carried the state.
Yeah.
But yes, what are your thoughts on the 17th Amendment and should it be repealed?
Well, the 17th Amendment, including like when there are vacancies and representation in any state, I quite frankly, I believe that there's a detailed process in repealing the 17th Amendment. I do believe that each senator should have one vote, and the electors of each state should make sure that they're qualified. But I mean, to be quite honest, the issues that Michiganders are most concerned with are how to heat their houses this winter and the crumbling infrastructure before them. And I will tell you about this, I'm talking about senators specifically in the 17th Amendment. I do believe we have a senator right now who's voting 95% with Chuck Schumer, does not represent the state of Michigan. And I believe that having somebody who understands, who has a skill set as a combat veteran, who understands how to keep Americans safe because he's done it before, having somebody who understands business. We talk about Wayne County. I was raised in Wayne County. I've created jobs in Wayne County. And we don't just roll up our windows. We have to roll up our sleeves. And when you talk about Donald Trump getting 29% of Wayne County, a son of Wayne County, by showing up, doing the right things the right way, having created opportunity there, that's what people are most concerned with, their own personal economics and their children having a better future. So that's where my focus is.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Joe. We got another call I want to get to. Sorry to cut you a little short here, but we're running out of time.
Take care, guys.
Love you, Joe. Take care. Bye. Let's take a call from Kate in Shelby Township. Kate, you got a question for John?
Yeah. Hi, John.
Hi, Kate.
It's exciting to see all the grassroots support you're getting across the state and how fired up everyone is about your campaign. I was lucky enough to hear you speak at CPAC, and I just want you to share with listeners who weren't there your message that was able to get you an adult endorsement from Ambassador Bolton and from the American Conservative Union.
Well, thanks for your question, Kate. I just told the truth. The Republican Party is a party of freedom. Our conservative values aren't really conservative values. They're American values. I spoke about God and country, faith and family, and service before self. And those in previous generations have been unassailable. But the progressive agenda is pulling us so far to the left that it's stretching this country and threatening to tear us apart. And so the question I got asked when I was asked to speak at CPAC was the difference between Obamanomics and Trumponomics. And I personally believe that our government was set up by geniuses. It set up a limited government that, because the best government is at the state and local level.
Great.
And by making sure that, like the tax reforms, by putting money back into the hands of people who earned it, by bringing, setting up pro-business situations where you're having jobs come back into Michigan from Mexico, this is the best situation, I believe, by allowing people to have their own better livelihoods here. So I understand economic opportunity and how to do that, but also for Ambassador Bolton, getting his endorsement was huge. But we imagine if you have the national security advisor to the President of the United States endorsing you because of your national security experience, that's huge.
Yep.
And so when we sat there, we talked about my experience at West Point, we talked about my experience as an Apache pilot, Ranger qualified Apache pilot in combat in Iraq. He was impressed by my understanding of the geopolitical environment and the challenges that we face.
I'm looking forward
to supporting our president's agenda in the future.
I know you only got a couple more minutes. We want to move on from that. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Kate.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. I got one other call, John, that we can squeeze in. I think Colleen from Northville wants to know, I'll let her ask a question herself. Colleen, welcome to the show.
Hi. Good afternoon, John. I just want to first thank you for serving our country as an Apache helicopter pilot. I can't thank you enough. Also, I want to ask you, I'm concerned, you know, that we currently are spending approximately $500 million annually on taxpayers' dime to fund Planned Parenthood, and I'd like to know what your position is regarding when life begins.
I'm going to give you a long, drawn-out answer about this. It's going to be very complicated, so listen up. Life begins at conception and ends at a natural death.
There you go. Wow, that was long. I fell asleep, you know?
Well done, John. Well done. Yeah. Well, did you have another question, Colleen, or did you want him to expand on that, or is that simply enough for you?
All right, you're giving me the opportunity. I'm a very loyal to Michigan. My father worked for General Motors for 32 years. I'm all about make it in America, buy American. How are you going to help jobs return to Michigan, and especially focus on the auto industry? I know President Trump is thrilled about the tax, the tariffs that are going to help the manufacturing of small trucks. That is wonderful for Ford and Chrysler, and I'm just wondering if you could expand on that a little bit. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Jobs, of course, and it would be great to have someone who understands small business. I've led a small business headquartered in Detroit and grew it from $35 million to $137 million over the past 5 years. I understand how to create jobs in Detroit in some of the toughest economic situation that we've seen in this country in decades. By having that mentality and being an automotive supplier, I understand what it takes to make sure that we keep this engine rolling. I understand not just from an academic standpoint, but from a practical standpoint, exactly how to do that. But we also have to dig deeper. It's not just about jobs. It's about looking at our education system, workforce development, skilled trades, the role of entrepreneurship in allowing everybody to achieve the American dream. And I believe that my relevant experience in the real world will help me to lead Michigan back to the future that it deserves.
John, you mentioned West Point. Some of the best business managers I've worked for have been ring knockers. How do you see that translating, however, to senatorial skills?
Very simply, no excuses. No excuses. My entire adult life as a military officer and a West Pointer, we make no excuses. We have to accomplish a mission because I don't get to look at a widow and say, I did my best, but your husband didn't make it home. Right. She doesn't want to hear my excuses. She wants her husband to give her a hug, not deliver her in a pine box.
Right.
The people in Michigan want no excuses. And by going to the U.S. Senate and making sure that, first of all, you have the skill set to be a senator, Debbie Stabenow has not had the occasion to develop the skill set to be a qualified senator, and you're seeing this in her voting record and her inactivity.
Yep.
And so I think the first step is sending somebody to the U.S. Senate who does understand national security from a strategic to a tactical standpoint, and somebody who does understand how to create economic opportunity because he's done it before.
Yeah. All right, so John, I know you got to run, and I appreciate you coming in, but please promise me that you'll come and sit with Ed and I and talk news of the week one of these Saturdays.
It would be an honor.
I would love to have you, man. And thank you again so much for calling in, and thanks for putting yourself out there and running for Senate.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor. God bless.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Okay, well, great. Happy to get John on, and well-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very, very good. So I'm glad to have him on there.
Get him in front of Debbie Stabenow in a debate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So now we've had all three candidates in, and I wish... You know,
we had four, but now we're down to three.
We're down to three. That's right. So,
he's got Bob Young's endorsement, too. That's right.
He does have Bob Young. I'm surprised he got John Bolton's. That's pretty wild.
Wow.
I'm a big John Bolton fan.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm a
Jolton.
John Bolton.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, all right. Well, we're running short on the break is coming up here. Derek, how much time we got? 1 minute, so we're not going to jump into anything else here. And we've got Tim, I think, calling into the bottom of the hour, so we'll get to that.
Hum a tune for us?
Hum a tune. Well, we've got – I want to get to one thing. Hopefully we can get to it, and it was Mark Robinson. And Steve Gruber played it earlier this week, and I don't know if Theron played it or not.
Oh, that black guy down in Carolina?
The African-American guy in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's like a 2 or 3 minute – I want to try and get to that and play it. It's
preaching it.
And this guy nails it, and I wanted to get to that. I don't know if we can get to it. Maybe we'll play it for Tim as we talk about anti-gun stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to get to that. So make sure that you are going to thedailydrift.com, and I'll get that up for tomorrow morning. I'll put the video up there for you so you can see it.
For the news you need to know.
The news you need to know. That's it.
Yep.
All right.
See you after the break.
We'll see you after the break.
All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. At least three are dead, up to 20 injured in Munster, Germany, after a car plows into a sidewalk cafe. Authorities will not say that this was an act of terror.
We do know that the driver of this vehicle did kill himself, and police are saying there's no further threat. So that in itself might give some indications as to the state of mind of the driver as to whether or not this may have been intentional. But certainly the authorities there in Germany are not saying anything yet.
Fox's Kitty Logan. At least 14 were killed Friday in a bus crash in Canada's Saskatchewan province. On board were members of a junior hockey team.
It appears that the team bus that was traveling to a playoff game, this is of course a junior ice hockey team that we're talking about, the team bus collided with a big lorry, a transporter truck, late on Friday afternoon around 5 o'clock.
Lorna Shattuck of Sky News reporting. Fox News, we report, you decide.
What kind of government cares more about appeasing Islamic terrorists than defending the constitutional rights of its citizens? A government that would disarm us during the age of terror. Nothing would make us more vulnerable to generations of suffering and slaughter than the destruction of our Second Amendment. But many of our politicians, aided by a relentless media, are launching that attack themselves. They dream of joining the rest of the disarmed peoples of the world, entrusting our survival to the mercy of monsters. The greatest damage the terrorists could ever inflict upon us is disarmament at the hands of the political elites. But we will never offer our right to survive as a fool's ransom to the world's killers. Our freedom is what they fear most. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, "What can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you." And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in the studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hey there. Publisher, what a wonderful day.
Publisher of The Current.
Yes, yes, yes. And I would, new please, do me a favor. Would you please, when you read The Current, support the advertisers, just like we ask you to support the advertisers here at Wham. That's how the bills get paid. That's how we manage to print that monthly paper that people like.
That's right. It's not cheap printing, as you now know,
right,
and delivering.
Yeah.
21,000 newspapers across Oakland,
Michigan. I have a reader in the Upper Peninsula.
Are you mailing it to her?
Yes, I'm mailing it to her. I couldn't.
I stopped doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, at $5 a pop, you know, we can afford to do it. I mean, that's how bad she wants the paper.
Yeah.
We have a listener in Switzerland. We actually have our audience extends to Switzerland. I'd like to give a shout out to Jay Poplar.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you want to I'm gonna let you go ahead and do our sponsor this half
hour. Oh, well, our sponsor this half hour is Burroughs Roadhouse. That's a surprise,
huh? Oh, yes.
But hey, it's a great place to eat.
If you have not been to Burroughs, it is a destination restaurant.
Yes, it is.
If ands or buts about it.
They've it's kind of classy.
They've got great drinks.
Yes.
Eric, my favorite bartender up there, knows how to make all those old classic drinks. So if you want the Aviation, the Cosmo, the Old Fashioned, man, he makes a bad, I mean good, Old Fashioned.
Now, see, you're pushing the bar, and I would push the restaurant because I don't drink. But that's why we get your opinion about the bar. And actually, the dining environment, it's classy. It's a nice place to take a date, nice place to take your wife, nice place to go for Mother's Day. You know, you need to go check it out because it's a historical venue for that matter. You know, it's the Burroughs Corporation. It's part of their recreation area for their employees.
Right. Yeah. It was an awesome place.
And well, it's at 5311 Brighton Road, Brighton, Michigan, 810-227-6000.
Nice. Okay. So, Derek, while we're waiting for Tim, I don't know if there's been a little hang-up or not. We're going to proceed. I'm glad I put a little extra stuff on the agenda, right? So, Mark Robinson and Joanne, one of our listeners, Joanne Schubert, gave me the heads-up on this as well. But they got played on Gruber this week, and I really like Gruber show. If you're not listening to him between 6 to 9 here at Wham Talk 1600, you should be. Gruber's the man. But I want to play this this track from Mark Robinson. You got that one ready, Derek? Can we play this? This is a gentleman who showed up to
city council
talk about meeting. Gun rights at a city council. Go ahead and play it.
All right, my name is Mark Robinson. I live at 4015 Sassafras Court. That's right here in Greensboro. I've lived in Greensboro all my life. I didn't have time to write a fancy speech. I didn't have time to, you know, I didn't have the resource of an English teacher to sit down and write a speech with at school today and be, you know, brought over here or practice or anything. What I really came down here for is this. I've heard a whole lot of people in here talking tonight about this group and that group and domestic violence and blacks, these minorities and that minority. What I want to know is, when are you all going to start standing up for the majority? And here's who the majority is. I'm the majority. I'm a law-abiding citizen who's never shot anybody, never committed a serious crime, never committed a felony. I've never done anything like that. But it seems like every time we have one of these shootings, nobody wants to put the blame where it goes, which is at the shooter's feet. You want to put it at my feet. You want to turn around and restrict my right, constitutional right that's spelled out in black and white. You want to restrict my right to buy a firearm and protect myself from some of the very people you're talking about in here tonight. It's ridiculous. I don't think Rod Serling could come up with a better script. It does not make any sense. The law-abiding citizens of this community and many communities around this country, we're the first ones taxed and the last ones considered and the first ones punished when things like this happens, because our rights are the ones that are being taken away. That's the reason why I came down here today. Gun show or no gun show, NRA or no NRA. I'm here to stand up for the law-abiding citizens of this community. Because I'm going to tell you that what's going to happen. You can take the guns away from us all you want to. You all write a law. I follow the law. I'll bring my guns down here. I'll turn them in. But here's what's going to happen. The Crips and the Bloods on the other side of town, they're not going to turn their guns in. They're going to hold on to them. And what's going to happen when you have to send the police down there to go take them? The police can barely enforce the law as it is. As what I see, we demonize the police, criminalize and vilify the police, and we make the criminals into victims. And we're talking about restricting guns? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that when the police department's already hamstrung? You're not going to be able to go down here and take these guns from these criminals. So the criminals are going to hold on to their guns. They're still going to have them. They're still going to break in my house, and they're still going to shoot me with them. And guess who's going to be the one that suffers? It's going to be me. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, it is not going to happen without a fight. And when I say fight, I don't mean shots fired. I don't mean fist thrown. I mean I'm going to come down here to this city council and raise hell just like these loonies from the left do until you listen to the majority of the people in this city. And I am the majority. The majority of the people in this city are law-abiding. And they follow the law. and they want their constitutional right to be able to bear arms. They want to be able to go to the gun show and buy a hunting rifle or a sport rifle. They're no military grade weapons sold at the gun show. An AR-15 is not a military grade weapon. Anybody that would go into combat with an AR-15 is a fool. It's a semi-automatic 22 rifle. You'd be killed in 15 minutes in combat with that thing. So we need to dispel all these myths, and we need to drop all this division that we got going on here. Because the bottom line is, when that Second Amendment was written, whether the framers liked it or not, they wrote it for everybody. And I am everybody. And the law-abiding citizens of this city are everybody. And we want our rights, and we want to keep our rights. And by God, we're going to keep them. Come here.
All right. So in that vein, right? Amen, brother.
I am everybody. I am the NRA.
I am. That's right. And so we'll start with that question. We've got 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg on the line. Tim, welcome to the show.
Wow. Who was that guy?
That was Mark Robinson, and he's from Greensboro, North Carolina, and their city council down there was looking to do some kind of legislation like they just did in Deerfield, Illinois, where they want to ban all assault weapons. And that guy hit it right on the head. I heard that on Gruber earlier this week. I think actually just probably before you were on Gruber this week.
Wow, I didn't hear that. That was fabulous, and he was articulate. He wasn't blacking anybody's eyes, just telling the truth. He wasn't saying he was going to, as he said, throw fists or shoot guns. He was going to fight using the law and the reason behind it, and that's what we need to get people to be thinking, including our students, who it's fabulous. They're awakened to some of the concerns. They have grief. They have feelings about this. But as I've told the ones I've talked to, I said, you got to go beyond that. And now we got to talk about the things that actually will do something, not just the things that some liberals are trying to do to get simply taking guns away.
Yeah, it always comes down to the one clear fact that is the ultimate argument for this. Criminals and psychopaths do not follow laws. I don't care how many you make. I don't care how stringent they are. They're not going to be followed by criminals. Why? Because they don't follow laws, period. The only people are guys like Mark Robinson or us who follow the laws. You know, a law is designed to punish somebody. It's not designed to prevent anybody from doing something. It just drives me insane. So
there's a law I like. The law I like is shall not be infringed. That's the law I like.
There you go.
But I'm not turning my gun in.
There you go.
Me neither. That's what right. I was thinking. I don't know that I can be like Mark Robinson and bring in my guns when they tell me to.
If I might say so.
And it's not, and I would tell Mark Robinson he's not violating the law. He's following the Constitution.
Yeah.
And so, no, I wouldn't be breaking the law either. I'm not encouraging people to break the law. I'm encouraging people to defend the Constitution.
Yeah.
And that's why, no way.
Australia, Britain, and Canada did not have a Second Amendment.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Tim, you're not hearing anything, no matter how much these wacko liberal kids and the wacko media promote them, we're not going to see that kind of nonsense come out of the House, correct?
No, absolutely not.
Good.
Okay. Absolutely not.
Yeah. What kind of nonsense are we going to see come out of the
House? we're just representatives of the people, and there are nonsensical people, and there are logical people, and we have all kinds, and We have to represent our districts, but we also have to be responsible for trying to educate our districts on the things that matter, and one of those is the Constitution. And so we've had the privilege of doing, I think in the last 2 weeks now, we've done 6 town halls. We'll be doing another one just a couple hours from now, and then I think one next week, and then go back to Washington to rest up.
Where's your one in a couple this afternoon, Tim?
In Palmyra.
Palmyra, okay. And what time, 3 o'clock?
That's at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Let me make sure. Get the time, 4 o'clock, Palmyra Township Hall.
Okay, got it. All right, so Tim, I wanted to get to something that you texted me last week, because there was a myth about the big budget bill that got, the omnibus bill that got passed. And the media and the Never Trumpers and a lot of people were saying that the Republicans funded Planned Parenthood. Can you correct the record for these fake news people that were out there?
Well, I encourage people, if they want to, look at the law, especially go to your Labor H portion of the budget. One of the 12 areas of the budget is Labor H, Labor Health.
Which of the 2,500 pages is that?
Well,
you can go to the website.
Go to the index.
Okay.
You can find it. But I'll save you that because we checked it all out carefully. There is not a penny of funding for Planned Parenthood. Now, if Ted Cruz would have said, I'm not voting for this bill because we didn't get the House language in that specifically defunded Planned Parenthood or any abortion organization, that would have been okay. If you also went on and said, but I'm glad that there is no funding in for Planned Parenthood, that's the problem. When you don't tell the complete truth, or then subsequent to that, the national media not telling the truth at all. I ask people, even if you didn't believe me, did the National Right to Life organization or Susan B. Anthony, which probably is even more strongly anti-abortion, anti-Planned Parenthood, did they oppose the passage of the omnibus? Again, the answer is no. Had Planned Parenthood funding been in there, you can bet your bottom dollar, because we've seen it before, where National Right to Life, Susan B. Anthony, would be out screaming bloody murder, saying to members of Congress who are pro-life, we're going to score this against you if you vote for the omnibus because it funds Planned Parenthood. They didn't. There is no funding. The one thing, you know, that we wanted to see with our bill that we passed on September 14th was actual language that defunded from any type of dollar amount or any type of grant program like Title 10 for family planning services, even though Title 10 disallows any dollars to be used for abortion or abortion counseling or referral to abortion or teaching that abortion is a method of birth control. Yet Obama's administration would still give dollars to be used for those purposes. President Trump has come out saying, and his administration, that they will scrub it to make sure that no dollars go to Planned Parenthood. And so we'll be checking on that, but a lot of stuff was said about this omnibus that wasn't true. A lot of stuff, I hope the president's, and I applaud him for saying he's going to try to defund some things that were in the omnibus, and I believe there are ways that he can do that, even simply by not spending it, even though it's been appropriated, not spending it for the program. And I applaud him for that. But on the other things, this was a bill that fully funded the military, broke sequestration for good, which we wanted to do. It funded 90-plus miles of the border wall, border security. The president asked for 75 in the first year. We gave him 90. So he got more. It also did some things with the school violence that was going on by giving grants and resources to be used by local schools to decide how they want to take care of their school districts and not the federal government tell them what to do. Gave money for training programs, etc., that would go along that line. And, oh, by the way, it didn't give a raise to members of Congress. As some, you might have heard it, it was out that we got a 20% raise. No, we still have, and the language is in there, freezing our salary since 2010.
Okay, that's good. All right, so let me ask you, too, now, Tim. The president has ordered troops, National Guard guys, to the border in lieu of getting all the money that he wanted or the wall funded. What's your take on being able to push some defense spending to the wall? Can he do that or can he not do that?
No, I think he can do that. The question is, can he force National Guard troops to go there because governors of the states control the National Guard? But dollars that can be used for National Guard services in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, as they are being used, can be used to enforce whatever is required by putting the National Guard in the place where the Commander-in-Chief has chosen to put them. So So they indeed can be used, and they indeed can be paid for, just like any deployment that they would get, joining the regular Army, Marines, Navy, etc., over in a combat zone.
Okay,
I have a problem. I don't know if I have a problem with it, but you know, when you're talking about replacing the not building of the wall with National Guard units and uprooting people from their lives from something that's not an imminent threat to the nation. Now, people are missing work. They've got to find daycare, all the things that, you know, guard service. Obviously, they signed up for it, knew the job was dangerous when they took it. But to send them to the border, because a wall's not getting built.
Well, I'll only take argument with the fact when you say no imminent danger. We've got pounds and tons of fentanyl coming across the border.
Well,
right?
That's part of the discussion.
And 40,000 people died of opioid last year, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of that was the fentanyl. So I think it is an imminent threat.
We also have 1,200 coming up from Guatemala, Honduras.
Yeah, yeah.
They're approaching the border. And all President Trump is doing is saying, as we are building the border, until we get it, we're going to put bodies in place of the wall.
Yeah.
I can see that is extremely important, especially the belligerence that we're seeing by some of those that say, you aren't going to stop us. We're coming across this border, whether you like it or not. That's not proper.
Does that divert funds from maintenance and training?
Because the $700 billion and the $716 next year that we put in is for all that Mattis wanted for the regular military to be useful. There are resources in Homeland Security dollars. There are resources that can be used for troops to be deployed anywhere. Again, we want to get ourselves back to the level where we generally have been, that we're capable of prosecuting two wars at the same time. I mean, two complete wars. Not just advisorships and things like that, but two complete wars. So, no, we should have the resources to do this using the National Guard troops. The states will be involved with that as well. Again, they're protecting their borders. When the Arizona governor came out, now sending, I believe, 400 troops right away to the border, they'll be paying for some of that as well.
Yeah. Well, forgive my ignorance, Tim, because I'm sure there's some legality here that's keeping it. Why are we sending National Guards instead of active military personnel? If we have 1,200 people in a caravan threatening to cross the border, if we have drug dealers and sex traffickers and slave traffickers shooting at Border Patrol agents and trying to cross the border illegally, is not our southern border under siege, and is it not legal for us to actually send active military troops to the border and string up, you know, 1,000 miles of razor wire, at least, you know, 20 yards wide, so that at least there's something there in those spots where there is absolutely no barrier.
With machine gun nests, too.
Why not?
Or reservists instead of guardsmen.
Is there a law that prevents that, Tim?
I don't think there's a law that prevents that, but again, you do what you need, and then you escalate as necessary. And frankly, I would hope that the president has gotten advice on the best way to handle it right from the get-go. And what is the National Guard for? They're for domestic defense primarily. We've pushed them into service overseas. They can be used for that, but they are still for natural disaster, civil rights, disobedience issues. And in the case of our borders, including Michigan on our northern border, our troops would be very useful to protect the borders also.
Okay. All right, that's good. Well, Tim, I want to get a comment in from caller Ken, who's got a gun comment for you. Ken, welcome to the show.
I just wanted to comment regarding the issue of turning in your guns. Now, first of all, I'm a lifetime member of the NRA and a gun owner. And first of all, considering that the Bible is very clear, Jesus was clear when he told his apostles to go out and get a sword, we have every right to own guns, and the government has no right to tell me I can't. And I say that we have the moral right, the right in the eyes of God anyway, to refuse in every way possible. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have to be punished from the laws of the land, but we have every right to say no to the government if they want to take my guns. And I like an old phrase that Charlton Heston used to use a lot. and I know this phrase existed before him, but he said, from my cold, dead hands. And I say to the government, try to take my guns, because it's not going to be easy. And I would say that there's over 5.5 million NRA members, and there's a hell of a lot more gun owners out there in the country. And I feel sorry for anybody in the government that's going to try to take our guns.
Ken, can you say it in Greek?
No, but I can try to find out.
It's Molin Lobby. Yeah, Molin, come and take them.
Okay,
that's what Sparta said.
All right, thanks for the call, Ken. Let me get Tim back on here. Tim, welcome back. Sorry, I kind of lost you there.
Yeah, got a little cut off there, so I didn't hear all the Ken.
Usually we cut Ken off. I usually have cut Ken off on two different occasions.
Yeah, Ken was just saying, his comment was basically that good luck for anybody if they try to come for our guns. And I think probably 80% of gun owners would feel that way. You know?
Well, I think so. It'll be interesting to watch Deerfield. And I can just imagine my uncle, who was an engrosser, an illuminator, an artistic guy, but he was a trap and skeet shooter and had Model 12s Winchesters and inlaid them with gold leaf, etc., and just loved his weapons and used them for appropriate purposes. I can just imagine living in Deerfield had he lived now, and a Deerfield City Council would say, turn your guns in. I mean, come on.
We have a judge.
Number one, there has to be lawsuits that are brought against the city council. You can't do that. The Constitution doesn't allow it.
We have a federal judge who just ruled that AR-15s are military weapons and not pursuant to the Second Amendment, as if the Second Amendment didn't apply to military weapons.
Well, see, the beauty of fact, and the judge will know this, I hope, is that I have as much to say about the Constitution as he does. And you start taking those positions. I think there comes a point in time where you would actually get the critical mass of members of Congress to stand and have a judge like that, if he's a federal judge.
But there's lag time. Between when they make that ruling, there's lag time before a defense can be, or, you know, a stay can be put in place to keep them from saying, okay, yeah, you're right, that judge said, and give us your AR-15s. Maybe we'll give them back if we haven't, you know, melted them down by the time the stay is issued or there's an overrule.
I think if you watch Deerfield, Illinois, how many people actually turn in their guns, I don't know if anyone has. I would love to see them try and send police out to try and collect your guns.
There are tons of people who are building 80% guns. They're unregistered. They're totally legal. You build the gun yourself. You build the AR-15 yourself, and it's not registered. And as long as you don't sell it, it's totally legal. And they're turning them out on home mills, drill presses, and with routers.
Yeah. All right. So Tim, let me ask you one other thing. I wanted to get an update. Well, there's the end of the show. Gone it. So Tim, how about your website? It's an election year. Let's give you a plug.
Well, the official website is walberg.house.gov. That's the official website. Campaign website is walbergforcongress.com.
Okay. Well, Tim, as always, thank you so much for coming in and giving us the update. If we can get you on again this month, there's some other questions I'd like to get you. So if you have any time at all, I'll reach out and touch you. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
it. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Live free.
Take care. Okay, and to the rest of you, go to thedailydrift.com. It's the news
you need to know.
All right, see you next week.